Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities with Lori Peterson and Abby Weinstein. Lori and Abby spend their days talking about dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and ADHD. They talk to parents of struggling students and adults who have had a lifetime of academic challenges. They want to share those stories along with their own insights with you. So, let's talk learning disabilities.
This is Lori.
And this is Abby.
Welcome to episode number 90 of Let's Talk Learning Disabilities. Hope everyone's doing okay today, and I hope you're enjoying our parenting series. And we have got, I think, four more parent interviews left in the series, but we're taking a quick break because it's April, people, and we're going to start talking about summer.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take a little break.
Summer and fall even.
Yeah. We're going to take a little break from the parenting. We're coming back with those last four series after we talk a little bit about summer. So, Abby, tell us what we're talking about today.
So today we have a special guest with us from Landmark School, Melody O'Neill. And she comes to us from Massachusetts. And she is Director of Admissions, is that correct?
I'm the Associate Director.
Associate Director of Admissions at the Landmark School. So we brought her here to talk a little bit more about Landmark School and then Landmark School summer programs. So welcome, Melody. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Well, tell us a little bit about you and how you became involved with Landmark.
Yeah. So I am actually finishing up my 28th year here at Landmark. I've been here a long time. I started right out of college back in 95. I happened to, kind of a long story, but I was in the right place at the right time. And my undergraduate background is in speech and language disorders. And at the time, Landmark was looking for someone who had that schooling background to specifically work with kids who had expressive language weaknesses to teach oral expression classes, which is kind of like group language therapy. So anyway, that whole process worked out and I started teaching here. Little did I realize all these years later that I would end up having two kids who both have some learning disabilities and ADHD. And my son is a current student here at Landmark in the 10th grade. He started in middle school, 6th grade. And my daughter, who just started college as a freshman, did four summer programs here.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't obviously realize when I started working here that I would be in need of the school for personal reasons for my kids, but I've worn a number of different hats during my time here. I ended up, besides teaching in the expressive language program, doing all the literacy training to work with kids who needed early literacy tutorials, utilizing Linda Moon Bell Lips program. And then I became an academic advisor for a number of years, supervising a caseload of students. And then I believe it was 2007 that I came down to the admission office.
Wow,
so I
love
the assessment and the neuropsych piece, and I pretty much handle enrollment at our high school. So
that's awesome.
So you have a high school. I know you have a college because we are.
But they're not.
They're not related.
They're not related. No.
They're not.
We are not related. No. I believe when Landmark College started in, I think they're in Putney, Vermont. We collaborated and helped to get that program going, but we are not affiliated with Landmark College.
Okay.
Their
good
profile
to know.
And who they support is a little bit different than our profile here, wider range. But we do have. We are an elementary, middle, and high school here, so we do support grades 2 through 12.
And so who is your target student?
So we do work with, I always tell families, it's a very narrow piece of the pie under that umbrella of a language-based learning disability. So our kiddos here are bright, well-adjusted, motivated kids. They have real cognitive strengths in areas of visual spatial ability and fluid reasoning. Our kids are the big picture thinkers and the meaning makers. They do really well with hands-on, if you think about those kids who just love putting together those Lego sets and stuff. And they have to have good receptive language, that comprehension of language coming in. I mentioned before, you know, teaching with the expressive language kids, they can definitely struggle with that retrieval and output. Expressively, we do a good job supporting that, but receptively, they really need to, that piece needs to be intact. Okay. From a cognitive standpoint, it's the comprehension, the reasoning, the visual, spatial that they're really strong with. Where we typically see the discrepancy is with that working memory and or processing speed being more of a difficulty. About 70% of the students are pretty classically dyslexic in terms of having that phonologically based reading disability. But sometimes we'll have students coming in that may be okay with their literacy but are struggling more with a disorder of written expression, the dysgraphia. They may have struggles with math as well, but typically for our kids, it's they're better with that problem solving of math and the big picture thinking, but it's more of like the calculations and the details and the word mm-hmm. problems. Some of our kids, like I said, have the expressive issues. I'd say all of our students struggle with aspects of executive function, that organization and time management and task initiation. That's really it, though. Those are our kids. We're not a therapeutic program. We can't support kids who have a diagnosis on the spectrum because our teachers just aren't trained to support those students. You know, we teach differently. So it's these kids who are socially savvy, well-adjusted, bright, college-bound, and it's really the reading, writing, and speaking and executive function.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. That is a great area of need. And your school is, and Landmark School is located... Tell everyone where there. I think you have two locations, right, or two campuses?
We do. So we're just 30 minutes north of Boston on the north shore of Massachusetts, right along the coast, right? Again, nice ocean views here on the high school campus. The elementary middle school is a few miles down the road, right when you cross out of Beverly, Mass. Into another town that's called Manchester by the Sea. And that's where our elementary middle school is. They don't have quite the ocean view from their campus, but they are still 2 minutes walk to the beach. So very nice campus. And the lower campus is a day program only. We typically have around 170 kids there for the school year and usually between 50 and 60 for the summer. The high school program, we have just under 300 students. We have about half of our kids living here as boarding students and half of our kids commute. We have typically 20 different states represented and at least a half a dozen or so different countries, international students. And our summer program, we usually have about 50 to 55 students for the summer.
Wow.
That's awesome. So, Melody, do parents that are considering Landmark School for their children or adolescents, do they have to have a current evaluation report to share with you, or can they have an old one from elementary school, or can they also just say there's no formal eval, but my child struggles with reading, writing, and oral expression?
Yeah, great question. Yes. So we do have a pretty comprehensive application process, and we do require testing within 3 years of date of application. It can be either private neuropsych eval or public school psychoeducational testing, but we do have three requirements for the testing. One is the cognitive measure. We ask for the WISC specifically, which is the Wechsler Intelligence Scale for Children. Or if a student is 16 or older, it would be the WACE, which is the adult version. We ask for a measure of academic achievement testing. It doesn't matter what battery, the Woodcock-Johnson, the Wyatt, the Kaufman, but looking at measures of reading, writing, math. And then we do require what we call a measure of psychosocial adjustment. So those are typically the rating scales like the BASC, the Behavior Assessment Scale for Children, or the Child Behavior Checklist, which typically is completed by parent, teacher, and then a self-report by the student to give us more information about social skills and attention and executive function and all of that. So, and just emotional functioning. And we do ask for all of that. We need all of that because it kind of goes back to me saying it's a very narrow piece of the pie. And we need to see strengths where we know our students demonstrate strengths and we can teach to those strengths. And that will allow for the student to make effective progress and meet with success. And then we need to see kind of those expected areas of weakness that we know we can support well here. So we need testing, and then, other measures. We collect school reports and references and copy of IEP or 504 if there is one. It really is the same application process for either summer or academic year.
Okay, that's good to know.
So tell us about your summer program. What makes it a little bit different from the regular school year? And tell us a little bit about what kids can expect to have happen if they attend the summer program.
Yeah, sure. So obviously with it being summer, it's a little bit more laid back than the academic year. There are less classes in the day. It's not a whole day of classes. And obviously the numbers that attend over the summer are smaller than, 50 for the summer versus like 300 for the school year at the high school. So I do want to just mention that our summer program at the high school campus, it's for students entering grades 8 through 12. So different from the school year where the high school campus is just grades 9 through 12 and 8th grade is typically during the school year at the middle school. And so summer at the lower campus is for students rising 2nd through 7th grade.
Okay.
So at the high school campus, the students for summer have 4 classes. They're 1 hour each. And one of the most important things, and then at the lower campus, I want to say they have 3 classes that are 1 hour each. At the lower campus, the little ones, it's just a half a day of classes. And that's it. It's just a half day program there. We don't have like afternoon activities planned. For the high school, especially because so many of the kids are boarding for the summer, we do have afternoon activities as a whole kind of camp like feel once they are done with classes after lunchtime and after their study hall. They have activities, they have dinner, and then there are a ton of things going on in the evenings, again, because we're right near the beach. We do all kinds of stuff there or whatever it may be. And there's great weekend trips planned and all of that. But it's one of the things that's most important about Landmark for both summer program and school year. Really the hallmark of who we are is that every student receives a daily one-to-one tutorial. It's a language arts tutorial. And it is very individually designed to work on the areas of literacy and language that student needs. So we work off a diagnostic of goals that can include the decoding, encoding, reading fluency, reading comprehension, writing skills, expressive skills, and study skills. And again, it's not like if you would think about academic support in a public school where you're just getting like help with homework. That's not what this class is. Again, it's its own class with its own diagnostic. So every student that attends summer program has this one-to-one tutorial, and every student that attends during the school year also has this one-to-one tutorial class every day as part of their daily class schedule. And to give you an example of what that means in terms of staffing and faculty, for the 300 students at the high school, we have 100 teachers.
Holy cow.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so very small classroom sizes.
Well, so that's the one-to-one tutorial. And then the class sizes here are 6 to 8. We don't go beyond 8 in the class because we are an approved program in the state of Massachusetts. And about half of our students are receiving public funding from the local districts. Oh, wow. So we cannot go beyond 8 in the class. And we group. The other thing that's very unique about summer here and school year is that we're grouping students in classes based on their skill level, not necessarily per grade. So we'll get calls all the time about like a certain grades, like is your 6th grade class full or is your 10th grade class full? But that's not how we admit students. We take students until we're full as a school, until all of those tutorial teaching periods are full. And we're taking, not to say we're putting like 18-year-old seniors with 14-year-old freshmen, but grade up, grade down. We're really looking at that, like working memory and processing and literacy skills when we do those groupings. So the kids can really feel like, whether it's math, whether it's science, history, LA, that they're with other students who really are at the same skill level as them, moving at the same pace, and that it's the right level of challenge for them.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that is
great. That really helps them feel successful and confident. They don't feel like they're,
the worst one or the dumbest one.
A mile behind the rest of their peers.
Exactly.
Plus, I always think that when students are surrounded by students that are experiencing similar struggles, I think it helps with their self-esteem and their confidence to realize that they're not the only one struggling with those skills, that there are other kids around them that are struggling with the same types of things.
Absolutely. That's what we hear over and over again from the kids, that they just feel like they're among their peers. All these kids learn like I do. It really boosts their self-confidence, their self-esteem. They start to take more academic risks in the classroom. They know that it's okay if they read words wrong or can't spell because none of the other kids can either, so that's okay, you know, and the teachers understand how their great brains work. All the faculty here have master's degree in mild to moderate special education, so it really is consistent language-based approach towards teaching across curriculum in all subject areas.
That's awesome. How long is the summer program?
Great question. So at the elementary middle school, they have a 5-week summer program. And again, it's just those half days, morning until lunchtime. And they have 3 classes, the one-to-one tutorial, language arts for writing. And then they have a structure of language class, which is more like literature and study skills and that type of thing. And so that's the 5-week program.
So they all get study skills?
Yeah, within that structure of language class, they're all working on, you know, literature and vocabulary and study skills in that class.
Everyone needs study skills.
Oh, absolutely. And those are specific classes during the school year as well here. But for the students entering grades 8 through 12 who attend the high school summer program, it's 4 classes. It's the one-to-one tutorial, language arts, math, because there's no math with the little ones over the summer, but we do have math at the high school. Good. And then the 4th class for the summer at the high school depends on what that student needs skill-wise. So if we're having a student come for summer at the high school who's way behind in basic literacy, they will have an additional small group reading fluency class in addition to their one-to-one tutorial. If it's a student coming to us who really doesn't need that extra reading class, then they will have a specific study skills class. But study skills is embedded in everything we do here across curriculum.
And so how many weeks is the high school? 5 weeks too?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't answer that part of it. Yes, 4 weeks at the high school. So it's a week less. It's a 4-week program. We start typically right after the 4th of July and then finish up by the beginning of August. I think it's August 2nd this year that the high school, both of the programs end at the same time, but the lower campus starts a week earlier than the high school does. It's not bad because students will still have a nice break typically when their school year ends before they attend summer, and then they have usually another few weeks off at the end of summer before they head back to school again, so there's still some good vacation time in there. And I just wanted to say for the students attending high school summer, when their school day ends, their classes end, they have lunch, they have some study hall time to get work done, and then the activities in the afternoon, we have like a sea kayaking program, and we have a marine explorations program in the afternoon, we have visual arts, photography, we have a CrossFit and fitness workout program, so they can choose from these activities, and then, like I said, after dinner, there's all kinds of fun stuff happening. So
that is awesome.
That is great. So, and for the high school summer program, they don't have to be a Landmark School student, right? Anybody can come and be a part of just the summer program?
That's a great question. Yeah, mostly the kids that are here for summer, both at the elementary and middle school, are not school year students. We want our current year students to kind of take a break over the summer. So most of the students attending for summer are just coming for the summer to get some skill boosting and, you know, writing skills and study skills to bring that back with them wherever they're returning for the school year. But we do have, I want to say, at each campus every summer, maybe 15 or so kids that are going to be new in the fall and are using the summer program as a way to transition in. It's very helpful for kids, let's say they are going to be boarding away for the first time as a way to transition in, or if a student has, you know, a lot of anxiety and they're really nervous about it, it's a nice way to help them transition in and make some friends ahead of time. So we will have some students that are returning. And then every year, I want to say we just have maybe a handful of current students, and it's part of their IEP for extended year services, and they stay for summer. But most of the kids are new.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. That's great.
Well, very cool. So how do people get more information? Where's the best place for them to go?
Yeah, great question. So our website is very comprehensive. If they go to landmarkschool.org, there's everything's on there that you can think of, you know, talking about our student profile, talking specifically about the elementary middle school campus and the high school campus, talking specifically about our summer summer programs. We have great videos on there. And in terms of starting the process, if a family's looking through all of the materials on the website and they're reading about who we service and who does well here and they're thinking, hey, that's my kid. We have monthly informational visits that we host at both campuses, and that's always a great first step for family to come in if they can get here and do one of the monthly visits. We do a whole presentation about who we are, what we do, our programs. There's a student panel, so they get to hear from the kids. There's a tour. And it's an online application. It's one application, whether they want summer or fall. And so on the website, again, if they go to apply, they will get to download the, work on the application right there. And if a family's from really far away and they can't get here, we have a couple virtual sessions every year that we do, but we can also set up, an alternate plan to do stuff virtually if we need to. And we do have a screening and interview process at the end of an application once we feel like we're likely to be a good fit and we've received all the testing and materials. And again, at that point is when a family's usually coming for an individual appointment. But again, I just met with a student from Egypt and we did that virtually and, we can work that out too.
That's awesome.
So, that is so cool.
Well, thank you for sharing. I think this is such a great program. And, if you've
really
got a student who's has any of these, struggles, I think a summer program that's so concentrated but makes it fun. That is so key. Mm-hmm. It's got to feel like summer. But to get that one-on-one, everybody gets one-on-one, that's bonkers.
That is wonderful. I think it's so important to keep your skills at least constant during the summer, if not improving, especially with our struggling learners or those with learning disabilities or that learn differently. I think that they struggle having the whole summer off, and then the start of the school year, there's not a whole lot of review of the previous year before teachers start jumping into new curriculum and new skills. But, I think it's great to keep everything fresh on their mind, to fill some gaps, to teach some important skills, and especially
build confidence,
absolutely build up those study skills and executive functioning skills, but also a lot of students with dyslexia, if they're in public school or even private school, at the end of the school year, they're sent off for summer and they don't get any of their literacy skills or that multi-sensory structured learning. So they go almost 3 months without any intervention. So I love that your program offers that they can continue to get intervention and have fun and just be there half a day and learn other skills too.
That's what the majority of families seeking us out for summer will talk about, is that, trying to avoid that regression piece and trying to not only avoid the regression, but also instill some, new and efficient study skills, writing skills that the student can take back with them. So,
wonderful.
It's very helpful.
Thank you so much for
your time. Thank you for being here, Melody. We appreciate it.
Definitely.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I just want to say quick, too, we work on a rolling basis. There's no deadline. And I had forgotten to mention, too, that over half of our kids do have ADHD as well. It's a very common comorbid diagnosis. So for them, our families, that we don't support kids with ADHD as well. But I really appreciated being invited to chat with you guys today. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. We'll include a link to your website in our show notes, so in case anyone wants easy access or is driving or can't write it down right now, we'll make sure that's in there. But I'm excited. Thank you so much for sharing all this with us. Listeners, if you guys have any questions or comments or suggestions for future episodes, questions for Melody, you can send them to us and we'll pass them along. Let's talk learning disabilities at gmail.com. If you're more interested in learning about some of our other episodes,
you can learn about our podcast and see all our episodes at our podcast website, which is ltldpodcast.com. You can see every episode we've recorded in chronological order, or you can even choose categories and listen to all episodes within that category.
So thank you guys for being here. Thank you, Melody. And I hope everyone has a great rest of their day.
Yes, take care. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for joining us today. In our show notes, you can find information about today's talk, as well as links to resources and other episodes. If you have questions about today's talk, have ideas for future episodes, or just want to stay connected, you can contact us through Diagnostic Learning Services on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So, let's keep talking learning disabilities. This podcast is sponsored by eDiagnostic Learning. You can find more information at www.ediagnosticlearning.com.